Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Great.
We're in the Christmas season.
Wow, we sure are. We're right in the middle of it, contrary to what most people may think. Yeah. We're actually right in the middle of the Christmas season.
The octave of Christmas.
Yeah. The octave of Christmas, yes. See, which is very important.
Yeah. I was going to say God uses a musical term, the octave of Christmas, the eighth day.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Octave.
I know there's like
octave,
A's and B's and C's. And
octo. Oh. Think octo, eight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Somebody says they sing two octaves higher than that. I say, I don't know what that means.
They can?
I don't know what that means.
Wow.
Or one octave higher. I don't know what that means.
Oh.
But octave, of course, from the Latin word for eight. And we're within the octave of Christmas, which is important because, and we're talking about the traditional Christian observances now. We're not talking about the secular celebration of Christmas, which, of course, is already over. And now we're about to celebrate, you know, New Year's in a couple of days, which, you know, is kind of like the secular holiday unfolding. But the octave of Christmas, the 8 days, is important, and it was incredibly important to Jewish parents. Still is, just to a big degree. But at the time that Jesus was born, at the time that Messiah came into the world, it was very, very important because they were still living in the old covenant. Now, as St. Paul points out in Galatians and in Romans and in many other places, we're not under those laws anymore. And as a Gentile who comes to faith in Messiah, you are not obliged to go back and do the Mosaic law, and you're not obliged to say, I have to circumcise my son on the eighth day. But at the time that Jesus is actually born, they were still in the old covenant, of course. And so one of the things, and, you know, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking about Mary, who the scripture doesn't really describe in a lot of detail, and certainly doesn't describe this scene in a lot of detail. But we ended last week's show, which was, I guess, our Christmas show. We ended last week's show by saying Mary had trusted God. She had gotten this message. She probably underwent a lot of criticism and ridicule from her relatives. And here was this nice young girl in Nazareth that everybody thought was so nice. And all of a sudden she was pregnant and she wasn't married to Joseph yet. And so you can imagine all the people in the town talking. Yeah. And you can also imagine Joseph, what an interesting man he was, in the sense that he says, you know, he finds out that she's pregnant, and there's one thing that Joseph knows for sure, and that is, this is not my baby. Joseph knew this was not his baby.
Yeah.
So either she has been somewhere else, which would negate the betrothal, which would be, and a betrothal was like a marriage that hadn't been consummated. It was not like an engagement, or they weren't just dating. They weren't going to a movie and out to dinner once in a while. A betrothal was like a marriage, except they weren't living together yet. So if one of the partners in the betrothal was unfaithful, I mean, that would have been the end of the betrothal. And by law, the woman caught in adultery, I'm not sure about the man, but the woman caught in adultery could be stoned to death. And as we know from the accounts, Joseph doesn't want to subject Mary to the law, which means somebody may take her and stone her.
Right. Exactly.
So he's a pretty amazing guy as well.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, and as we celebrate this, you know, the birth of Jesus, there is, you know, those are some of the readings that we will read in the in the lectionary or in the liturgical cycle of readings over the, over 3 years in the church, mm-hmm. because it keeps us, it reminds us of the trials that Mary and Joseph went through to serve God. Not that they did anything. I mean, they just served God because they were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were obedient. They took the necessary measures and steps that they had to take in order to do what they had to do to protect this child.
Yes.
And the amazing part of all of this is that God entrusted his son to mere mortals.
Yes. Poor mortals.
Poor mortals. A man and a woman that would bring him up and raise him, and he would grow up as, you know, as a young adult, as a child, a young adult, and into adulthood, adult man. And so the from the very beginning, it would basically look like this is the plan. An unwed virgin is going to have the child. They're not married. You know, he's going to have to, he's going to have to protect her from the law if he chose to expose her. You know, and it wouldn't be the first trial. It wouldn't be the first time that they experience. It won't be the first. It won't be the last time that they experience a trial.
Sure.
As they, you know, as they journey on, is on this journey. But the joy of the birth of the of Messiah can, you know, it kind of eclipses this a little bit in the sense that this is the reality of what they had to endure before they could get to the birth. Just as Good Friday is, we have to go to the cross before we can get to the resurrection.
Yes.
A very good lesson that, you know, all Christians need to keep in mind, because a lot of times it's a lot easier to just go, I just want the resurrection. I don't want the pain and the suffering. And that's usually not part of how you grow.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to involve pruning. Yes.
No. No. Just light pruning.
Light pruning. Good.
Just light pruning. Yeah.
Ooh, just a little touch up around the edges.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. If need be.
Yeah. You know, that it's thinking back to them living in this little town of Nazareth. Joseph is obviously an honorable man. And it doesn't. He has some doubt about this, and then he's reassured by an angel in a dream. Joseph never actually says anything in the scripture, but you get the idea that he's an honorable man. And as you say, God trusts him to be the earthly father to his son, earthly father to the Messiah.
Yeah.
That had to provide for him. So we don't think of it that way, but women didn't work. Mary took care of the house and took care of little Jesus. Joseph had to provide for them. So he had to have a job. He had to work. He had to always think, well, I got this job coming up and I'm going to make this much money. And then I got this job coming up and I'm going to make this much money. It, you know, kind of like what we think of as people in our time, when you think about what's your salary, when you're going to get your next check, how much is this other thing going to bring in? Because you want to provide for your family.
Yeah.
And he's had to provide for the Son of God and the mother of the Son of God.
Yeah.
And he knew, like I said, that this was not his child. Mary knew this was not Joseph's child. Mary knew from, we didn't really do a program on the Annunciation, but Mary has this encounter with Gabriel, who says she's going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be the Son of the Most High. So I'm sure this is ringing in her head when she sees this baby boy.
Yeah.
She knows it's not Joseph's. She knows it's, he's her baby.
Yeah.
Obviously. She went through the whole childbirth thing, and the angel said, this is the Son of the Most High. So she knows this is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And no matter what her parents may or may not have believed her. We don't know. They may have, I mean, somebody can pull something over on their parents.
Yeah. Joe coming in.
Yeah. I mean, she could have pulled something over on her parents. They may not have always, but she knew this was the truth.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned Good Friday, it made me think of something else. Jesus was actually condemned for blaspheming. The high priest tore his robe.
Yeah.
And then it led to that, which we're not going to get into now, obviously, but it led to the horrible suffering and crucifixion. Mm-hmm. But of all the people that were there who absolutely for sure knew that this was the Son of God were Jesus and Mary.
Yeah.
Mary knew this was the Son of God.
Yeah.
In fact, if he was, when he was being brutalized for saying he was the Son of God, for saying that he was divine, Mary could have, I mean, women weren't really allowed to talk and they were dead set on killing him anyway, but Mary could have stepped forward and said, listen, this is my son. He's not the Son of God. Joseph and I are his parents. So why don't you just leave him alone and let me talk to him?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't say that because she knows he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
He's been condemned for something that she knows to be true.
Yeah.
And while we're sitting, getting back to the stable or whatever it was, cave or stable, she's looking at this baby knowing this is not Joseph's baby. This is her baby and that he's the Son of the Most High. And it's no wonder in that account of Luke's that it says she ponders all these things. Because how do you even begin to ponder these things?
Well, if you think about it, a pregnancy is 9 months. She, you know, Gabriel would have visited her shortly before that.
Mm-hmm.
And within a matter of 9 months, she's giving birth to this child.
Yeah.
They're in Jerusalem and the heavenly host, you know, these shepherds come and say, hey, we were in the fields and these angels appeared and they started singing glory to God in the highest. And they said, we would find this infant wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger and you'd be here. And this is exactly what they showed us.
Yeah.
And they go, did you see it on their Facebook page?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and a lot of times we will talk about how the disciples over that 3-year period would walk with Jesus and within a matter of 90 days, their whole reality of what they had grown up and learned and knew would be transformed because of the cross,
yes,
the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it, you know, and yet Mary had a pregnancy that lasted for 9 months, and then all of this took place. So as that passage says, you know, she pondered all these things in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to take in. You can't even imagine.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about it. And then at the same time, you have a real human baby there in front of you. You have a physical baby. And we don't know who else was there, but there may have been other people there. Or the baby starts to cry. And normally, and this is in days, of course, there's no diapers, there's no formula, there's just not. So you have people that say, maybe you should try to feed the baby. Why is he crying? The baby needs to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's passing by there doesn't say, wow, I think this is the Son of God. Everybody looks and says, well, this is a baby who's just been born and he's a mess and maybe he's hungry because he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should try to feed him. Oh, look. He just messed himself.
Yeah.
We have to go find something else to clean him with.
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing a human physical baby and she's thinking, you know, this is the Son of the Most High. I mean, how does she get her thoughts in order?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joseph there looking at this baby, probably like pale and sweaty. Yeah. Joseph, I mean, not the baby. I mean, imagine being Joseph. Yeah. Going through this whole thing, being either with her or nearby her. And in those days, you know, men didn't sit with their wives who were in labor and, you know, they were like out of the picture somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph's looking at this baby, probably thinking, wow, you know, she's had this baby. She says he's the Son of the Most. Who's this baby? I mean, the emotions there, the scripture doesn't tell us and nobody really – ever talks about it, because we tend to think of these people as, you know, Mary and Joseph were just, you know, kneeling there with their hands, you know, in a prayerful position, or they were, you know, standing there looking holy.
Yeah.
What they were actually like, oh, here's this baby, and who's this baby, and what, you know, what are we supposed to do now?
Yeah. 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 It's a lot to take in for Mary, and it's a lot to take in for Joseph, given the circumstances and the situation of what was presented to them, and just how God's plan was meant to unfold.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of trust. There's a tremendous amount of trust that they had in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember, I mean, they, you know, Joseph was a righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been familiar with the Torah. Mm-hmm. He would have been familiar with the passages from that they would have read, you know, on the, yes, on the Shabbat.
Yes.
But Mary also had to be a righteous woman,
mm-hmm,
to trust in the Lord,
yes,
and to follow.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm.
And you know, the ancient church called her the Theotokos, the God-bearer.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of an amazing description of a woman who has a baby in her womb who's God and he's also man.
Yeah.
So she gives birth to the God-man.
Yeah.
So she is the God-bearer, the Theotokos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no one ever had that experience. No one has ever had that experience since then.
Yeah.
And no one will ever have that experience again.
Yeah.
Even if the world goes on for another 10,000 years, that's never going to happen again.
Right. Yeah, she's the only one.
And at this point, she's there in the middle of this mess with animals and hay and who knows who else. And then the shepherds show up. You know, she doesn't think, well, as soon as this baby's born, the shepherds will be coming over. I mean, all of a sudden, these shepherds are there saying, oh, we heard angels singing and we saw light and the angels told us to come and see this.
Yeah.
And she's thinking to herself, wait a minute, the angels told you guys to come and see this? I just had a baby over here. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And the Bible simply compacts that into she pondered these things in her heart.
Yeah.
I mean, we would say this all blew her mind.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even know how to begin to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's just so much that's there. And to be compressed into, yeah, she pondered these things in her heart.
Yeah.
But this, you know, as we're celebrating the octave day of Christmas, and in most churches, there's the feast of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us of the trials and the tribulations that they did encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was this perfect family, but there were trials and trials that they had to endure, just as, you know, other families have to endure.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, their circumstances might have been a little bit different. With the birth of, you know, the Messiah, everybody, you know, when you're giving birth to a child, they're not going to be the Messiah. There's only one. But they are in this stable, and they're going to have to eventually go to the temple, present the child,
mm-hmm,
to the temple, because they have to follow the law.
And we have the big A day law coming to do before that, which, mm-hmm, of course, is the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably, right after all of this, they would have already been thinking.
So the circumcision was on the eighth day for the male.
Day. And the baby's named.
Now, when did that come into play?
And the boy is named on Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai.
Wow. Well, Abraham was circumcised.
Yeah.
Abraham circumcised himself. Oof. And all the Hebrew babies in Egypt were circumcised before the law was given.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the law was given, this becomes encoded as the sign of the covenant.
Exactly.
It was the sign of a covenant before, but the law specifically says on the eighth day, you do the circumcision and you name the boy.
Mm-hmm.
You can name the girl right when she's born.
Right.
So a woman has a baby girl and they say, we're going to call her Sally. You can do that right immediately. Well, they probably wouldn't have said
names?
Sally. They probably wouldn't have done Sally. But if you have a boy, he doesn't have a name until a week from today.
Yeah, until the eighth day.
So the angel, in fact, Luke talks about this. We can read it, but I'm sure the time is running down. But, you know, the angel says, you're going to bear a son and you're going to name him Yeshua, which means salvation. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save people from their sins. And they know they're given in a supernatural way what this baby's name is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's going to come in that night and say, oh, so what are you guys naming the baby? Because they know a boy's not going to be named till the eighth day.
Right.
And Mary and Joseph are observant to the law.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they're not going to say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this a week from today. We need some more time to kind of pull ourselves together. Let's go in a couple of weeks to do this circumcision thing. No, you have to do it on the eighth day.
Yeah.
Because that is the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have followed the law.
Yeah.
They would have never dreamed on Joseph to say, hey, we got to go back to Nazareth. You know, what's this eighth day business?
You know, as you're saying that, I think about some of the comments that I will hear about, you know, where parents would go, well, I don't, I'm not going to take my child to church. I'm just going to let them find God on their own.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't happen because, as you said, circumcision was a sign of the covenant. It meant life with God.
Yes.
And isn't it amazing that the Son of God is obedient to the law?
Yeah.
God himself is obedient to his own law.
Yeah.
My son's going to be circumcised and on the eighth day because that's what the law is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't skirt it and go, I don't have to do that.
Yes.
I'm God.
This baby, you know, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So the fullness of the Godhead dwells in this baby. So technically, baby Jesus at, you know, age whatever, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, could have said to his mother and foster father, I'm the Messiah and I'm the Son of God. I actually am God. I was in the Shekinah glory. I gave Moses the law. And so this really doesn't apply to me. So don't worry about it. Just go about your business and don't worry because it's not going to affect me one way or another. I don't have to be in the covenant. Well, he subjected himself to the covenant.
Yeah.
He subjected himself to the law or else he can't be the Messiah if he violates the law.
And how could he be the essence of the new and eternal covenant if he's not able to fulfill the old covenant?
Yes. And when they're in their house and he's growing up, Mary and Joseph are teaching him about God, about the scriptures, about the faith, so to speak. Like we say, we teach our children the faith.
Yeah.
And they recite from Deuteronomy 6 about teach this diligently to your children. Mm-hmm. So they say, hey, it's almost Shabbat. We have to get ready. You know, go wash up and come back. You know, they have to tell the Lord of the Sabbath that it's time for the Sabbath now. So go wash your hands and, you know, come back for dinner.
You have to wonder if Jesus ever said, I know that.
Don't tell me again. No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so we don't know who circumcised him.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder if years later somebody would have said, you know, I'm the one who did the circumcision. I don't know if some local guy did it.
Yeah.
But that didn't have to be done in the temple. That's usually done in your house. But there's great fanfare, and that's when they give him the name, which his name Yeshua is even prophetic because he brings salvation.
Yeah. The name is very important.
Yes. So when you learn the Hebrew roots of your faith, you see why this story is even more important and more profound than what you read on the inside of a Christmas card.
Yeah. It's not by chance. It's all planned out. It's all part of God's plan.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Woof.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. That's why I like Christmas a lot better than I used to.
Oh, wow.
In terms of the spiritual Christmas. The music's already playing.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And before we go off the air, I want to say Happy New Year from Gift of Grace Ministries.
Yes. Happy New Year from Gift of Grace Ministries. And we pray that as you continue through this Christmas season, that you are enriched by the birth of Messiah, and that you will follow him with your whole heart, all your mind, and all your strength. God bless everyone. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.